Welcome to The Innovation Station, the podcast from the Innovation Hub of South Yorkshire ICS. This is your quick roundup of health and care innovation within our region and beyond, where we discuss some of the challenges facing the health and care system and highlight how innovation, technology and new ideas are transforming and improving services to help address these challenges. The Innovation Hub is a partnership between the Yorkshire and Humber Academic Health Science Network and the South Yorkshire and Bassetlaw Integrated Care System. The Innovation Hub works to help the ICS identify unmet needs from across the health and care sector and support the adoption and spread of innovation which can help meet these needs. I'm your host, Andrew Woodcock, Programme Manager of the Innovation Hub. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about the increased use of remote technology to monitor health. Since the pandemic, we've seen a rapid growth in the use of technology and new devices to record symptoms, communicate with clinicians, and track patient progress. This has opened up a plethora of new possibilities around the way care is delivered, with healthcare professionals now able to ask new questions, including whether or not they actually physically need to see a patient or not. One such device being used to transform the delivery of care for patients in South Yorkshire is TytoCare. This wireless handheld device has been used across a variety of care settings in Yorkshire and Humber over recent years, including at Sheffield Children's Hospital, where patients and their families have been able to benefit from the ability to monitor health from home without the need to make regular visits to the hospital. In our virtual studio today, we're pleased to have colleagues from the Sheffield Children's Hospital and the Yorkshire and Humber Academic Health Science Network who'll be sharing their insights and experiences of implementing TytoCare in the South Yorkshire region. It's a pleasure to be joined today by Ellen Barnes, Tom Mann and Lee Richardson. Welcome all. Firstly, I'd just like yourselves to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit more about your roles and your involvement in this project. Ellen, perhaps we could start with you.
Hi, Andrew, and thanks for having us today. I'm a programme manager at the Yorkshire and Humber Academic Health Science Network, and since September 2020, I've been involved in the NHSX programme to deliver innovation in healthcare.
Great, thanks, Ellen. Tom?
Thanks, Andrew. My name's Tom Mann. I'm the Service Improvement Project Manager for Digital Transformation at Sheffield Children's Hospital. I've worked here since about 2005. With Ellen and the AHSN's support, I have been the project manager for the TytoCare project that we've implemented with our teams, home ventilation and palliative care at the Children's Hospital.
Wonderful. Lee?
Hello, my name's Lee Richardson. I'm one of the clinical nurse specialists at the Children's Hospital. We are part of the long-term home ventilation team. We look after life-limited children in the community. And so we've actually been involved with trialling the TytoCare device as a tool for a clinical assessment.
Great, thanks everyone. It's a real pleasure to have you on the podcast. So Ellen, perhaps we could start with you. Are you able to explain a little bit about what TytoCare actually is? Perhaps tell us about how it works.
Yep, so TytoCare is a handheld wireless mobile device with attachments that connects to either a patient's or a healthcare professional's phone or tablet and allows online or offline examinations of a number of areas. It's lungs, chest, ears, there's an otoscope, throat, there's a tongue depressor blade, heart rate, you can listen to the abdomen, non-contact thermometer and a skin camera. So it allows all of those remote examinations to diagnose a range of conditions.
And so from the AHN perspective, when did you first come across this device?
The AHSN had heard about TytoCare through an original pilot that Bradford Teaching Hospitals had done when they were looking at the Tyto device for other patient cohorts before COVID hit in about 2018-2019. And then, of course, when COVID hit, they decided to use the devices that they've got to try and protect their most vulnerable patients from COVID, which was paediatric palliative care patients and respiratory patients. And so they utilised their devices for those patients at the beginning and the height of COVID. So the AHSN heard about this and picked up on the TytoCare device.
Fantastic. So that kind of brings us on to you, Tom. The TytoCare device has been implemented at the Children's Hospital for the last couple of years, I believe. Tom, perhaps you could tell us about how this implementation came to be.
I first heard about TytoCare when I was approached by our Associate Director for Transformation, Jude Stone, and he'd been in discussion with Paul Dimitri, who's Head of Research And Paul had been in contact with the Academic Health Science Network, found out about this really great opportunity by NHSX, NHS England, NHS Digital, with the Academic Health Science Network for Yorkshire and the Humber support. And would I take on the role of project manager? It sounded really, really exciting and it seemed very timely. My initial experiences was just having some demo on Teams from the developers in Israel. And I think really the next stage really was to start to talk to teams at the Children's for whom it might have been a suitable type of device. We spoke to various teams. We looked at ED as an example, General Paediatrics, Embrace, our transport service, Paediatric Critical Care. The team that committed to the project first was Respiratory. The long-term ventilation team came forward, as well as later on palliative care. Between having a team that very kindly decided to be involved in the project and actually getting these devices live, there was quite a lot of work. There was the sort of the governance side of things, which Ellen was so supportive of. Because this was regional working, a lot of this stuff could be done as a region, and so it kind of took some of the work away from individual local trusts at a local level. So, for example, the IG compliance and all that was done centrally by Leeds. There was also the DCB 0160 paperwork, which was basically a checklist of everything that we had to consider, from training people right through to making sure that we had the sign-off from our medical director, our nursing director. But as well, there was actually the technical side of things, from getting our IT department doing what they needed to do from an infrastructure point of view to allow the software to basically go through our firewalls. So there was quite a bit of work there from our infrastructure team in identifying the right port to open to make TytoCare work on the trust network and things like that, because obviously we've got to be cyber safe. So the biggest amount of work was really the clinical teams who had to actually then take it, train patients, implement it, get devices to patients and all that. And I'm sure that my colleague Lee can talk a bit more about that.
Great. Perhaps, Lee, we can bring you in now then. You're perhaps able to talk about that training side of things from your clinical perspective, but also the training with the parents who ultimately will be supporting their children by using this device.
I think probably a little bit just from the background point of view as well, the group of patients that we see are geographically quite widely spread. They're regional, so they can be in any of the Trent areas whatsoever, and we tend to go out to the families. The families have also got children who are long-term ventilated patients. They're what we would class as technologically dependent, and they're not able necessarily to immediately access local services. So they can't always get to a GP, they can't always get even to a local A&E department, and sometimes they do go to local A&Es, but they go and it's almost an inappropriate attendance. It's an attendance caused by the lack of any available resource where they can get somebody to physically actually look at them and examine them. One of the reasons why we thought the TytoCare device was a great idea was because it was something that we could actually physically give to the families and say, you can dial into us, you've got a link to the hospital, and you've actually got a link to actually a clinician or a consultant who can actually physically talk you through an actual examination of your child without leaving your house. And then we can sort of make an informed clinical decision based on that. So from our point of view, that was really attractive. So the way that we initially started it was we didn't just straight away rush into people's houses. We assessed the device, we got comfortable with the device as a team, and then we did what we would call a phased rollout. So our initial response was to take the device to a small group of patients and actually set up a virtual clinic setting rather than them to use it in an initial emergency situation or in a stressful situation at home. The way we said we'd do it is we'd take the device to the families, we would provide on-the-spot in-house training with the families, and then from there, cherry-picked those 10 patients, brought them to a clinic virtually, and we had a consultant go through an entire clinic with them doing the consultant role with regard investigation and examination. We're really, really quite happy with that. It worked really well. And following that, the next thing that we had was a plan to sort of roll it out to our more geographically distant patients. We would start some training with them and we'd implement the device with them so that actually we could then roll that device out, and if they had some concerns about their child, they could physically contact us, and again, we could see them in a faster, more timely fashion and make some clinical decisions based on what we saw there. So that was our two-phase rollout. Following on from those two rollouts, we then took it further afield, and we've actually rolled it out to not all our patients yet, but to about 50% of our patients have now got the TytoCare device in their home. And so actually, from our point of view, that's been a really successful implementation.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's great to see it kind of starting small, but then growing and growing to where it's at today. Tom, you mentioned some of those technical issues or challenges you had when implementing that you were able to overcome. Were there any other hurdles or barriers that you experienced when you were trying to get this off the ground?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what Lee just alluded to there is that hindsight is always a wonderful thing. And, you know, it's obviously lessons learned in any project are really important. I would say with TytoCare, what we've got to do is to put ourselves back into that time where COVID was still so prevalent. Teams are extremely busy and at kind of like unprecedented levels in terms of workload and constant changes. The NHS was in very much of a response mode. Wherever you worked in the NHS, you were in that. And I think this is a very exemplary of that, this TytoCare project. It was responding to a need. You know, we couldn't see patients face-to-face as much as we would have liked, and so this technology could allow us to still assess and diagnose remotely and all that. So, yeah, the way that it was implemented is different from the way we'd normally implement a project, in that NHS England, obviously NHSX, NHS Digital, had this opportunity. The AHSN was facilitating that and making it happen and going out to trusts. And in turn, locally, we were going out to teams and saying, you know, would this be a good fit, blah, blah, blah. Whereas normally with projects, it'd be the other way around. You'd say, we have the need for remote monitoring, and then you go out and you look at a suitable type of product. I think just the way that things were set up, it was always going to be challenging to just respond in that way. So I think that's the first thing we'd have probably done differently, is we'd have probably gone, right, identified the need first and then built from there. But that was just the nature of how things were at the time. You know, we've talked about the technical barriers already, but I think that's a lesson learned for anything where it involves connectivity, is you need to get your IT infrastructure on board if you're going to make a successful digital project, because without that, it doesn't go anywhere. So I was very lucky that we did have somebody who was dedicated in the infrastructure team who was able to look into the firewall, who was able to sort of test it with me. We did technical tests before we then did a test with a family before actually implementing the pilot. So all that's really important. But also, TytoCare relies on a pairing. You know, the device has to pair with the mobile app. That can be an issue if connectivity is a problem. Generally speaking, everybody has Wi-Fi, but obviously we've got to consider that not everybody does. So you might be relying on hotspot, which if 4G, 5G isn't great in that area, can be an issue. Also, Lee and Mika in the home ventilation team, as part of their roles, will go to other hospitals around the region who will also have firewall settings. We did realise that actually in some areas, basically, the device wasn't able to pair. So I would say those were the main challenges technically. And yeah, just actually a big one is just these clinical teams are incredibly busy actually treating patients, which is obviously where their priority has to lie. And so to try to get them to commit to something which is going to be potentially pulling on their time as a project like this is quite a tricky thing.
Lee, you touched on that initial training with some of the parents, and you know, you had a very positive response initially. Once those parents were using the device and helping their children, are there any particular impacts or stories that have come about from the implementation?
From our point of view, and from a family's point of view, the ones that have taken it up have been really, really positive about it. If I'm a disabled child, for argument's sake, or a parent of a disabled child, I've got lots and lots of pulls on my time. So for instance, a child with a neuromuscular disease could have 6 or 7 consultants. That may mean, in one sense, 6 or 7 clinic appointments, which actually I've got to get my child up for, take them out of school, get the wheelchair sorted out, get them into a hospital, get it parked, go and see a consultant for a routine 15 or 20 minute appointment, which it is, and then do the reverse again. What we found straight away from a clinic point of view was that the families weren't having to do that. The ability and flexibility to be able to do that in their own home, sometimes from their own child's bedrooms, is fantastic, because it's taking that burden, that economic burden, from the family. So from a clinic perspective only, the feedback has been marvellous. With regard what we would call a symptom focus call, whereby somebody is unwell, we've definitely seen an improvement and a take up on some of the families that actually previously would not necessarily contact us as a first port of call. So again, the same sort of thing. We have some families that will, if the child is unwell and they don't know what to do, they will go to their local GP, and the GPs are brilliant, absolutely brilliant, to see in our group of patients. But they are very, very complex, and often from a GP's point of view, their default position would have to be either a specialist or a local hospital. So what we've been seeing now is that the families have been able to contact us, and we've been able to work in partnership with the local teams after we've done, or the families have carried out a video assessment of the child, to actually sort of coordinate care and make care for this child sort of completely joined up within a local area and also with the specialist centre, which is the children's hospital. That means that we know that the child's getting exactly the correct sort of management, the family knows that the child's getting the correct sort of management, and also the local teams, the GPs and the community teams all know that we're supporting them, and they're totally aware of what the care plan is and what the care planning and care management strategies are. And that sort of thing provides a massive amount of reassurance, not just for the families but for us as well. I think that's the other side of it from our point of view, and that's the bit that we will focus on more and more as this device gets more and more prominent, as people become more and more aware of it, and as we also work out how it works for us as professionals and how it works for the families. It will definitely be a fantastic tool to use going forward.
Wonderful, yeah. I think you're right. It takes both sides of the coin in a way to be successful, that patient side, but also getting the clinicians on board and the process of them understanding the benefits that that devices like this can have, and you know, this new way of delivering care, which can be so beneficial. So it's a process, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think what Tom touched on earlier actually was totally correct. The implementation from our point of view here, partially because of the COVID situation, was sort of not the way necessarily we 100% want to implement it, you know. But certainly, I think as the device becomes more recognisable, as the newer patients find that it's just a piece of kit that they are issued routinely, then actually it becomes the norm and it becomes the standard, and that's the standard that we want to set, really. You know, we want to set a really high quality of standard, and we want these children, wherever possible, to have access to all the correct technology and all the correct procedures that they need, really.
Yeah, wonderful, yeah. And there's obviously, you know, by reducing appointments, reducing the need for appointments and travel, there's obviously an environmental element to that as well, which is very beneficial, and we know that a really big priority for the NHS over the coming years as well. So that's fantastic. It's great stories, and good to hear the positive impact that it's been having. As we know, evaluating a new initiative is really key, especially if we want to grow it and implement it on a wider scale. Ellen, perhaps you could touch on the evaluation that's going on for this device.
Yes, so we're very fortunate with our evaluation partners. We have the Yorkshire and Humber Applied Research Collaboration, hosted by Bradford Institute for Health and Research. We've also got the National Institute for Health and Research, Children and Young People's MedTech Cooperative. And we've also got some support from the University of Sheffield for some health economics evaluation. So we have regular meetings with our evaluation partners. I have regular meetings with them, and we're all gearing up now. Originally it was 6 months scale, the rapid response project, that's evolved and extended into year two, and then a small extension now for projects to continue on, that's been funded by NHS England and NHS Improvement till the end of September. So our evaluation partners had always been working to the March deadline, so now they're working to a June. So we're going to collate all the information that we've got. We've got qualitative and quantitative data. They've done interviews with not only patients and parents, but people involved in the programme stakeholders, Tom, project managers, Lee, clinician. So we're expecting the evaluation report to come out towards the end of July.
Brilliant. Thanks, Helen. Yeah, it would be really interesting to see the outcomes of that evaluation once they're ready, and perhaps we can have you back on at a future date to talk through some of those impacts and that academic evaluation. So looking to the future, what are the next steps for Tai2 Care in the region? You mentioned you're trying to scale up. Are you perhaps able to shed any more light of that?
I know that there are discussions ongoing now with either at place-based or at region-based with Tai2 Care. Tai2 Care are a company that's based in Israel. So we've done all of this project, all of the projects that we've implemented, which I think we managed to get 14 projects live in different user cases settings across Yorkshire and Humber. They now have a UK representative, so they've employed someone within our region as well, which is very handy, to represent Tai2 Care in the UK. And he's doing a lot of extensive work. He's talking with Sheffield Children's Hospital about a relationship with them becoming a beacon for Tai2 Care and paediatric healthcare pathways, and that they're also having discussions with the ICSs in the regions to look at how this could be some of the projects replicated in other regions and how this could be spread and adopted.
From our point of view, it's very clearly this device is in its infancy, and I don't think we've either fully tapped the potential yet of it, and because it's a brand new device, we haven't fully embraced the technology. I think the thing that we're seeing very clearly is that actually it will become the new standard. Going forward, what we hope is that it will be a piece of kit that every family is issued just from discharge. And I think the other thing I would just point out about it is that because we haven't quite tapped the potential, we can see that different areas are using it in a slightly different fashion, and that's really beneficial, you know, because actually the way we use it potentially will be totally different to a different area. And I think that's the potential for the devices, for different teams to sort of use it different ways, share that information, and then just improve the patient experience by rolling the digital technology out and making it work for them. And also another thing, just as an example, if you have junior nurses in your team that go out and see patients, again, they can use that to dial into the more senior staff who can actually then do a triage there as well. So there's loads of different implementations for it. Just from my point of view, I think it's really positive, and I think if it becomes the standard, we'll learn how to use it better and we'll be able to use it even more effectively than we're doing now.
Yeah, that's absolutely what we should be doing. And the other thing is, with that, you need to think about the frontline staff delivering the services. We have, within our digital wards project team, digital lead nurses, you know, and that's a new role. You wouldn't have had those a few years ago. You know, we have a chief clinical information officer. You have chief nursing information officers nowadays as well. And Lee's talked about you almost need to have like a digital triage nurse to receive these examinations, triage them, send them to the right person, and make sure that roles become part of that digital pathway as well.
Brilliant. There's some fantastic stories, and there's obviously a huge amount of potential here. Tai2 Care is really one particular tool set in the kind of broader shift, really, towards more remote monitoring technologies that we're seeing. So are there any other devices or projects that you might like to highlight that are similar in nature to this?
We've got other innovations, and as Lee explained, we've got other projects using Tai2 Care in different care settings, in care homes, in GP, primary care. We even had a trial in the ED emergency department, which that's unusual. So there are lots of different use cases, and I think that Lee's aptly put that we need to just explore how much more we can utilise and where we can utilise it differently. And but it's not just Tai2 Care, that's just one small project within the NHSX Joined Up Care programme, and the regional scaling programme for Joined Up Care is how we deliver virtual healthcare, or how we enable virtual healthcare where it is appropriate to be delivered. The next steps really are looking at how do we get that integration, because not all of these innovations integrate into the many varied EPR systems that each healthcare provider has. They don't all have the same, which makes it more challenging. I think I've listened to quite a few podcasts about innovation in the future. It's no good unless we have everybody able to view the same latest data and information for that patient. So it's the big next steps for all of this innovation is, how do we utilize what we can see and what we can gather effectively for all of our clinical teams? And like Lee said, there might be multidisciplinary teams involved here. How do we get that so that it is available for everybody to see, so that They can only make decisions with the information that they've got. So if they've got all the information, they can make the best decision for that patient.
So we're drawing to a close now for this podcast, but before we finish, are there any key lessons for others who may be thinking about utilising technologies such as TytoCare in their pathways? Perhaps you could each share one closing thought or lesson before we go.
I think from our point of view clinically, I think it's really to do with the implementation and the infrastructure. I think as long as the infrastructure is in place, then actually we're able to support the staff, to support the families. If the infrastructure isn't in place in the institution, then actually the device and the technology won't be effective.
For mine, it would be supporting change, supporting that transition into the new virtual era of healthcare, and encouraging that it might not be perfect. I think we all realise we're in this new era of virtual healthcare where the walls have come down. So for me, it's about supporting that change and innovation where it's appropriate.
And I agree with both Lee and Alan there. I think from Alan's point of view, interoperability is really key, making sure that systems talk to each other. And I have heard from Steve from TytoCare that he is in conversations with people like System One, for example, which is very encouraging because that is a system that we use widely at the Sheffield Children's NHS Foundation Trust. And I think the other thing is, from my point of view, I 100% agree, the infrastructure and the background, the project team that makes these things happen is really, really important because it's more than just buying kit, it's more than just a capital expenditure. To make these things a reality and to make these things operational needs people, because ultimately this technology is for people and you have to make people make it work. So you do have to have the right team in place. That's really important.
Great. Well, thank you all so much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure and it's been fascinating to hear more about this TytoCare project. And I know I'll be paying keen attention over the next few months to hear more patient stories and to hear about the further rollout of the technology. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Lee.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
You've been listening to The Innovation Station, the podcast of the South Yorkshire and Bassetlaw Innovation Hub. The Innovation Hub is a partnership between the Yorkshire and Humber Academic Health Science Network and the South Yorkshire and Bassetlaw Integrated Care System. The Innovation Hub works to help the ICS identify unmet needs from across the health and care sector and support the adoption and spread of innovation which can help meet these needs. I've been your host, Andrew Woodcock, Programme Manager of the Innovation Hub. If you have a story to tell around health innovation in South Yorkshire, we'd love to hear from you. Please visit sybinnovationhub.net to get in touch with us. Thank you for listening.